2. We just want to continue with the thoughts that we looked at last week. We're still looking at fundamentals of utterance. So, how many more weeks before believers' meeting? Just one more week. That's next week. Amen. All right. So, those of us that have been coming for the midweek service, we're just greatly blessed. So, at least you know what to do that night. You've had a trial on. You've practiced some things. And because in a believers' meeting, we give expression to the grace of God that has been given to us. Okay, so in this teaching, we've looked at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7. We've seen the fact that Paul's stand, even concerning the Corinthian church that he later spoke of as being like unto carnal, was that he gave thanks on their behalf for the grace of God which is given them in Christ Jesus. That's what he spoke about in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. And he said that he testified that they came behind in no gift because they were enriched by him, that's Christ, in all utterance and in all knowledge. And so many times, last week we tried to use what we saw in 1 Corinthians 14 to explain most of what happened in the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts is the demonstration. The book of 1 Corinthians 14 is the explanation of those things. So we saw a demonstration of which, so the early church worked in certain things that they didn't fully understand. So that you walk in something doesn't mean that you understand it. So in the book of Acts, we saw how they started walking in the things of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, we begin to see the explanation of the things that they walked in. So Acts the 2 again. John will mean all the way to verse 30. I wanted to see Peter's teaching on Nadia and his explanation. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth these which you now see and hear. Notice, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth these which you now see and hear. In other words, Peter was teaching, explaining what took place in Acts chapter 2. In verse 4, the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak. But as of verse 33, Peter said, there are things you're seeing, that you're hearing, that it's as a result of what God had promised. Jesus has received that promise, and has shed it forth abundantly. And what he has shed forth, you can hear and you can see. So as of Acts chapter 2 verse 4, all that was in operation was what people could hear. Can you remember that? We looked that up. So there were things that they had. What they heard, they had tongues. And as you go further down, you see that the Bible says that they heard them speak glorifying God or the wonderful works of God. And so we explain the fact that what took place in Acts chapter 2 all the way down to verse 10 and 11 was interpretation, which is those people spoke in tongues and then they interpreted. And everyone understood that they were magnifying God. But Peter here is explaining that, listen, this momentous event which you are witnessing is the fact that Jesus, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. So if we examine every statement critically, having received of the Father the promise will imply that Jesus must have attained a particular status before the promise of the Holy Ghost could be received. Look at verse 34 again. Verse 33 says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. That's also the word for glorified. Jesus was glorified. Let me put it the other way. In other words, the status that Jesus had at the right hand of the Father is different from the status he had before he went to the cross. Hallelujah. You know, I said something the other day that we're going to look at it and study. When he was on the earth in his physical body, he was referred to as the second Adam. When he rose from the dead and he ascended and he sat and he was glorified, he received the promise as the last Adam. The last Adam, let me just quote him. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll come back here. 1 Corinthians 15, and let's go all the way to. Okay. Sorry, just a minute. Let me quickly. Okay, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living what? Soul. The last Adam, notice this is a second, the last Adam was made what? A quickening spirit or a life-giving spirit. The status that Jesus had when Peter was preaching, when he says, he being by the right hand of God exalted, that exaltation was to the status of last Adam. He was made a life-giving spirit, which means he is the one that gives life. It means he's the one that has life to give and life to offer. Say amen. So he being by the right hand of God exalted is a reference to his new status, his new position. I'm showing you the legal framework for the new creation, which is the legal framework for you and I to abound in all utterance and all knowledge. If you understand the legal framework, you will no longer count on your feelings or your emotions or circumstances or what you do, you don't do. You will understand that there's a legal basis for you and I to abound in all utterance and all knowledge. You will understand that all utterance and all knowledge is not seasonal for a believer. It is who we are. It is what we have. It is what is native, relative to our nature. It's so important you understand that. So Peter began to explain that what you saw us do, or what you saw 120 people begin to manifest, it started with utterance. Then we move that into other things or other manifestations of the Spirit. It says, Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father, past tense, he has received the proof that Jesus has received of the Father, the promise of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, is that men are now born again, able to speak with all utterance. Say amen. Hallelujah. So Peter's explanation of what happened on the day of Pentecost was the fact that Jesus has been glorified. So in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 41 of your son, and the Bible says, as the last Adam, he is a life-giving spirit. It means he gives life. He couldn't function in that capacity when he was on the earth before he went to the cross. It was his ascension and his sitting position, which the Bible refers to as exaltation, that made him able to receive of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. It means there's a different capacity in which he received it. Let me say this. The Holy Ghost energized men to accomplish things under the Old Testament. But when the Bible says he received of the Father the promise, it means it's the manner in which he was received and the manner in which he was given that is different. The Holy Ghost was a visitor or energizement to accomplish certain things under the Old Testament. But in this capacity, when Jesus spoke about the Holy Ghost, he says the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, said when you receive, he will abide with you forever. John chapter 14, we also looked at that last week. John chapter 14, look at verse 16. John chapter 14. Look on our faces, says that we still need to look at some of those scriptures. Okay, are you there? And I will pray the Father. Say, Jesus said he will pray the Father. Do you need to pray the Father to receive the Holy Ghost? No. That is Jesus' job. As the head of the new creation, he will pray the Father. This is, I will. So when he was saying it was not yet done. He hadn't yet prayed. Why? There is a position he needed to attain before he could pray the Father. Hallelujah. So he said, I will pray the Father. So he was speaking futuristically as at this time. John chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17 are the chapters that signify or outline the last events of the days of Jesus upon the earth. And John focused on those major instructions, directions, and prayers of Jesus to give us a background of what happened and how the new creation came into existence. So Jesus is telling them now, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. If he is a comforter, and he will abide with you forever, number one, it means that the duration of his abiding will be forever. Second, it means that whatever he needs to do in your life has to be forever also. It means you will never need to be without him. He will abide with you forever. Notice no conditions were placed. When I pray the Father, he will give you. So if we put that side by side with what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he says, Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father, so he has been exalted, and he has received of the Father the promise of the Spirit. That position, which also makes him a life-giving spirit, qualifies him to give us the Holy Ghost. In what capacity? That he may abide with us forever. Hallelujah. Lord, if you understand, let me say that. That he may abide with us forever. Hallelujah. So the explanation of it is if he abides with you forever, and is the one that gives us utterance, it means that you have utterance forever. It means utterance doesn't come and go. It is in your mind that you disconnect from it. Utterance is always with you. For the source of it abides with you forever. That's what the Bible teaches. Hallelujah. If the source is forever and it will abide with you forever, it means well with you forever. It means you and I are the ones who depart from the experience. God doesn't come on and off. I need to get you to understand that. God doesn't switch on and off. It is men that switch on and off. Jesus said he will abide with you forever. And that means, therefore, that presence continues. His abiding presence is there, whether you acknowledge it or not. If he's always there, then I'm likely the one who is not always on. That's what it means. I'm the one who is not always conscious that he's always there. But he's always there. He will abide with you forever. Forever, in that measure. By you being a new creation, the Holy Ghost abides with you forever. Forever. So when you don't sense of feeling, you are not to pray for God to do something. You are to pray yourself into the consciousness of the fact that it's there forever. It means you have to pray with the understanding of the truth that if you will be with him forever, God will never withdraw the Holy Ghost. Then I am the one who has lost consciousness of him. So I am to pray to be aware of his abiding presence. So it's not about asking God. It's about praying to understand or to comprehend his abiding presence so that I can walk in the reality of those truths. Hallelujah. Then we saw John chapter 7. Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And verse 38. Then we saw John chapter 7. Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Hey there. Tells me from verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, again, remember what we looked at last week about that how do you really read? Because the original rendering, there are no commas or full stops. So, how do you really read? What is saying? The last day, that great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, he that believeth on me. That's how you read it. Let me read again. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me. Who will come and drink? He that believeth on me. Hallelujah. So, have you believed on him? Believing on him and drinking are one and the same thing. If you believe on him, then you have already what? Drunk. See what it says. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. So who is the scripture really referring to? You know, I know we have used that scripture many times, personalized it for ourselves and everything. Yeah, and that's not wrong. But technically, it's actually referring to the life-giving spirit of the last Adam, which is Jesus. He's out of his belly. The scripture has already said that, out of his belly. It means that prophecy had a time frame. It had a time frame. But it was spoken of in the Old Testament, but it had a time frame. For when the New Testament will come into operation. So it says, as it is written, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. So where do you drink from? Out of his what? Belly. Again, remember that scripture we just read in Acts chapter 2, verse 33. He being by the right hand God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Spirit, he has shed forth these. So if you compare that with verse 38, what does that mean? What does it mean to shed forth? Out of his what? Belly. Hallelujah. I want you to see, are you following? Out of his belly and shedding forth me, one and the same thing. Because he has shed forth this which you can now see and hear. But in the book of John, he calls us, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Are you following? So everyone who believes on him that has drunk, where did you drink from? His belly. What did you drink of? Rivers of what? Living water. Look at the next verse there, verse 39. In case you doubt what he's talking, said, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they, say they, that believe on him should receive. Were there people who believed on Jesus when he was speaking this way? Yes. Could they receive? No. Why? Look at what it says. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. Now, I'm going to say some things tonight by the Spirit of God. And I'm teaching because it's every breakthrough in faith is tied to a breakthrough in revelation. Every major breakthrough in your faith walk is always tied to a major breakthrough in revelation. The more you see of God's love and his ability, the more experiences you just begin to have. So that's why the emphasis for a new creation is never power. Power came by reason of birth, but power is administrated by revelation. So it means how much I see causes a release of power to bring about a change in my experience. That's the way it works for a new creation. In the Old Testament, it was power, 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 power. In the New Testament, it is light, 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 revelation. So the more I know, so much has been done, but it is not all that has been done that I comprehend at once. In fact, you can't comprehend at once. So I start downloading. The more I download, the more my faith experience is enabled or enhanced. Hallelujah. I said everything I said up to that point to say this. Look at what he said again. He said, out of his belly, the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the culmination, listen carefully, of the Father's plans and purposes from Genesis all the way to the book of Acts was that Jesus should be glorified. Why did he need to be glorified? That the Holy Ghost should be given. Why should the Holy Ghost be given? That there should be a new creation upon the earth. Now, listen attentively again. A new creation is a new creation. One has never existed before. That implies if Jesus is exalted and is sitting and glorification is forever, then whatever function or operations of God are in a new creation is also forever. Hallelujah. It's also forever. That means that, look at Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. Why were they filled? Why were they filled? Why were they filled? Sorry? Why were they filled? I want to be sure that you're really following. Why were they filled? We just read Acts 2:33. We read John 7:38. So why were they filled? Because Jesus had been glorified. Should I start again? Now, because Jesus had been what? Glorified. If Jesus had been glorified and his glorification released the promise of the Spirit, and the promise of the Spirit means the new creation is in existence, it means therefore that the new creation is the Father's plan from the beginning. That's what it means. So the Bible says that, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began. Very important. They began. It means they were the ones who initiated based on the fact that they were what? Filled. That word filled there doesn't mean you pour something from outside into an empty container. That word filled means that something is inside the container. It now occupies the space of the container. Let me say that again. Let's read from Acts chapter 2 verse 1. So you understand. Because in English language, all you see the word filled. But in the original Greek, they used two different words. So in Acts chapter 2 verse 1, what does it say? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Someone says under accord. One accord in one place. And what happened next? And suddenly there came one, a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind. And he filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And they appeared unto one, then cloven tongue as of fire, and he sat upon each of them. Look at next verse. And they were all one filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as we give them. Look at verse 3 again. And they appeared unto them, cloven tongue as of fire, and he sat upon them. Verse 2, no, verse 3. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing wind. And what did he do? He filled all the as wherein they were one sitting. So the first field, there are two words filled. Filled in verse 2 is went from filled in verse 4. Filled in verse 2 is you, so to speak, pour something into an empty container and then you fill it up, okay? So that's what happened in verse 2. In verse 4, what happened is different. What happened in verse 4 is not that they poured something into an empty container, is that something is in the container, let's say at the lower level, it now rises up to fill up the container, which is the same word for yielding. So they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In verse 4 means they all yielded to the Holy Ghost. Let's put it this way. They were filled in verse 2. In verse 4, they yielded to what they were filled with. Hallelujah. And they began. You can look at the word began as they, some hesitated, some were forward. You know, some people are forward with things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit, they are good things to be forward with. So some hesitated, some were reluctant, some dragged their feet, some were forward. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's put it another way. Since they were filled in verse 2 and they yielded in verse 4, as the Spirit gave utterance will mean that the Spirit was counting on their yieldedness to measure the amount of utterance supplied. Let me say that another way. In verse 2, they were filled. In verse 4, they yielded to what they were filled with. Then if they were filled in verse 2, and they yielded to that infilling in verse 4, and they began. They began therefore means that they were once determined how much utterance flowed by beginning. Say amen. What did they experience in Acts chapter 2? They experienced something supernatural as they yielded. Listen carefully. They were not taken by surprise. Don't let the word suddenly in verse 2 fool you. Now, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. So, no. For 40 days after I rose from the dead, Jesus had been teaching them. What was he teaching them? The things that pertain to the new creation. He was teaching them. So, they were expecting the Holy Ghost. He was giving them step by step. He must have spoken them about Isaiah 28 with people of other tongues. Will I speak unto these people? You understand? This is verse where we promise, where we rest. This is refreshing. Isaiah chapter 28, verse. So he was teaching them for 40 days. So when they were filled in verse 2 and in verse 4, they yielded to what they were filled with. What happened? How did they yield? They began to speak as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So now here's what I want to say. Utterance, listen carefully, didn't depend on the Spirit, how much flowed out. Utterance depended on their yieldedness. What could the Spirit do? He filled them. What did they do next? They yielded to the infilling. And I said some things last week, because this is very important when it comes to flowing with the things of particularly in utterance. I gave, of course, it was humorous, but it got the point home. If we submit 7 of us to injections, we'll get 7 different reactions. If we submit 7 of us to be flogged, we'll get 7 different reactions. It is not the cane. The cane is the same. The pain is the same. The reactions are not the same. If we submit 7 of us. So, the same reason why people will tarry at the bottle, and some will get intoxicated after a cup. Some will just sniff it and they are gone. And some will take 5 bottles and their eyes are still clear. It can't be the bottle. It can't be the wine. It is the individual. It means the level of yieldedness that abides in each person is different or varies. And how they choose. So some will be drunk and they laugh a lot. Some will be drunk and they sing a lot. Some will be drunk and they dance a lot. Some will be drunk and all they do is stagger. What is constant to all? They are all drunk. What did they all take? The same wine. How did they react differently? Glory to God. Hallelujah. They were all filled or yielded to the Holy Ghost and they began. So they began, therefore, means that how much utterance was measured out was based on how much they yielded themselves or they spoke it out. In other words, utterance being given to you and I is a function of how much I choose to express on the outside. To him that has, more shall be what? Given. So the more I express, the more that flows continually to fuel my expression. Notice again in verse 4, they began to speak is all that we heard. Then in verse 33, Peter said that these things which you now see and hear has been shed forth. So by verse 33, people were not just hearing them speak, people were seeing them do stuff. They were doing stuff. Yet, what did Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 speak to verse 4? They were all filled. How did they start expressing the infilling, or did they yield? They began to speak. So we can conclude that from verse 4 to verse 33, all the things that they gave expression to was as a result of starting from speaking. Hallelujah. From speaking, they stepped into doing and some other things. So let's jump all the way to verse 17 and let's see what happens. Let's see what when Peter stood up to preach now. When Peter stood up to preach, look at what Peter said. Am I right? That is verse 14. Thank you. Verse 14, Acts 2 from verse 14. See what Peter said? Peter said. But Peter standing up with a little voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose. Were they drunk? Were they drunk? Okay. But notice it says, not as you want, suppose, which is they are under the influence of something, but it's not new wine. So he now says, be this known unto you. But see, it is but the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. in the morning. Okay, so, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Did you see that? This is that which, so he began to use the prophetic scriptures to explain the experience. Look at what it said. It shall come to pass in the last day. So, the prophecy that Joel gave, in Joel's day, it had a time frame. Jesus teaching in John chapter 7 and John chapter 17 tells us it had a time frame. A time frame means that the prophecy couldn't come to pass until certain conditions were met. That condition was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and his ascension, and his sitting, which the Bible calls glorification. Okay? So Peter now began to say, this is what was spoken by the prophet, which is, you are seeing prophecy fulfilled. What did Joel say? It shall come past the last day, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Do you notice that it says that your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall see dreams? It's interesting to notice that the first thing that they do has to do with speaking, the next thing has to do with seeing or revelation. So, First Corinthians 1, verse 5 is fulfilled. You are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Hallelujah. It's so important that you say this. Why have I not stepped over into revelation? Maybe I'm waiting for revelation to drop on me. What is the order in scriptures? All utterance and all knowledge. What am I meant to do? Start with utterance. Where will I end up? Knowledge. So why have I not entered into revelation knowledge? Because I've not given myself to all utterance. So if I don't know the procedure, therefore, I don't know one leads to the other, I'll be waiting for sudden revelation. Sudden revelation belongs to the prophetic office. What is the procedure that is accessible to every single believer without fail? All utterance and all knowledge. It says they shall prophesy, then they shall see visions. In other words, as they speak, they are enabled to see. And I can prove this in a practical, because this is an exact description of how the things of the Spirit operate. If you give yourself sufficiently to speaking in tongues, sincerely, you will begin to see. Except you have learned to ignore what you see, or your mind has been engaged in other things that we cannot mention. Because sometimes we see, and we doubt what we see. I will say it's from our mind, because we have not learned to separate what we think from what we are, what's revealed to us. But we all function in sin, every one of us. He says, your young men shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. What's the difference between dreams and visions? One is in the night, one is during the day. That's all. They're the same. That's all. One just happens when you are asleep. The other one doesn't happen when you... That's why it says some people sleep and have visions, even though they are asleep, because it has a definite message. So when you are comparing it, it says, it shall come, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall what? See. Say see. See vision. And your old men shall what? Dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then begins to go on and go on and go on and go on and like. So what is he referring to? He's still referring to what just took place in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled and began to speak. So as they began to speak, how do we know? I explained something to us last week that the Bible says that they had them speak, every man his own tongue. What took place? Tongues and what? Interpretation. Because they said they will prophesy. Go to Acts chapter 14 now. I said Acts chapter 14. First Corinthians 14, please. First Corinthians 14. So what is he referring to? Is he referring to what just First Corinthians 14? Are we there? Let's quickly read the first 5 verses. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may want prophesy. Remember now, we spent time on that one, but rather follow after desire spirituals, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understands, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. I'm reviewing the italicized words. That's why I'm reading like that. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets that the church may receive what? Edified. In the first four verses, he captures what he says in verse 1. What did he say in verse 1? Follow after love, desire spirituals, but rather. That single word removes the flow of the Spirit from the exclusive preserve of God to the exclusive preserve of the saints. Follow after love, or the activity of love on the inside. That is number one step. But you can go beyond that and desire things of the Spirit. Then you can go beyond desiring and what, rather that you may what, choose what, how you express it. So Paul in chapter 14 is not teaching how the Spirit will find expression through you. He is teaching how you will give expression to the Spirit. He even gives you rules for how you give expression. He says, where do you begin? Notice, follow after. How do you follow after? I want to show you something that's strange there. Follow after. What does it mean, follow after? Focus on, sense, pick out. The word charity is the same word as activity of love. On the inside of every one of us, there is what you call the activity of love, which is, if I feel drawn to you, and I'm not talking about natural attraction, I just feel drawn to you in a meeting, I feel empathy towards you, I feel compassionate towards you, if I yield to that drawing towards you, I am following the activity of love on my inside. So if I follow that activity, by the time I get to you, because I'm following the activity, and I desire things of the Spirit, he says, but rather I may prophesy. So how will I start out with the things of the Spirit? Largely in utterance. What is the primary way the utterance will manifest? Tongues. What should I choose rather over tongues? Prophecy. Why should I choose prophecy? That will benefit you more. Let me take a step back. I follow after love. Love, therefore, is the motivation behind my coming to church to minister to the saints. That's love. Now, generally speaking, my coming to church to minister to the saints, I'm following the activity of love according to Scripture. And I follow the specific activity of love within me, which is when I get to the meeting, there are one or two or three people I may be drawn to minister to. When I'm drawn, does it automatically mean that I will know what I have? Nope. What should I do when I don't know? Remember, I'm about to follow the activity of love on my inside. So I'm drawn to the person. I just feel like I should just go up to the person. I'm following the activity of love. What should I do? I desire spiritual. What do I should mean to desire? It means I believe that whatever it takes to bless that person will flow forth as I speak. The question is, when I begin to speak, how will I begin to speak? Usually with tongues. But the Bible now says that though I'm starting out with tongues, I can choose to change it to prophecy, because that is the one that will actually bless the person. So I'm starting with tongues doesn't mean I'm ending with tongues. I'm starting with tongues so that I can bring out prophecy. Hallelujah. You know, that word rather is a very damning word, because it removes every trace of defense on your part. That is as God wills. He says rather. It's a language of preference. Rather means that when you are coming, since you are a love being, and you see, you already know, say me, God always, say always, 24/7, bless people. God wants to bless people all the time. There is never a time or a day or an hour that God doesn't want to bless people. Never, never. So when it says follow the activity of love in your inside, it's telling you the step-by-step process to which, how do you flow and minister. So then, desire. No, so here's what I want to say. Do you notice that to follow after takes your mind? To desire takes your mind. To prophesy actually also takes your mind. Someone says, why does it take my mind in all three steps? Because your mind has to do with your will. Pastor, I've never experienced it, because you've not really practiced it much. Why have I been letting us practice during the weekdays so that we can become accustomed and used to it. Again, many of us, before we practice, or every single day of this month that we practice it, we started out not knowing what to say. Let me say it for you. But question, how did you suddenly know what to now say? Here's the interesting thing about believers. Four Wednesdays now, you have practiced without knowing what to say. Then when you started, you suddenly knew what to say. And you are still thinking tonight, what will I say? Is that not how all of us are? Let this man just teach and go. Your prayer will not be answered. So this is where, because you are still, a part of you still thinking, it just happened, you. God just had mercy. Today that I've been extremely carnal. All my activities have been in the flesh. He can't, this way can't use, he use a donkey, you are qualified. He prefers you to a donkey, honestly. Why? You have to allow your mind to remove the operation of the spirit from a coincidental issue. It's not a coincidence, it's a law. It's a law. Can you imagine you thinking, if I wake up in the morning, I may not be able to speak? That's demonic. Why won't you be able to speak? You must be able to, because it's an exercise of your will. Why are you not talking now? Because you don't want to. It's the same thing with things of the spirit. Follow after love, desire things of the spirit. But rather means you are the one who chooses how to express it, not God. God now says, here is the best way. I want you to excel towards being a blessing to others. That's all. I want you to focus on being a blessing. What does it mean to follow after love? It means to focus on being a blessing to others. So if I focus on being a blessing to others, I am following after love. Then I desire. My mental slant will enable me to yield to a flow that is always there, because God is always ready, and God's personality and devotion never changes towards men. Never changes. So if his money never changes, therefore, I am the one holding him back in expression. What am I counseled to do according to God's word? Don't hold him back. Don't hold him back. Let it flow forth. Don't hold him back. That's what it means. Don't hold him back. He says, follow after the activity of love. Verse 2 says that, he that speaketh, verse 2 is an explanation. If I'm speaking in tongues, I'm not speaking to men. I'm speaking to God, for no man understands or catches the meaning. Howbeit in the spirit, I am making sense, because I'm speaking mysteries. So God understands, my spirit understands, my mind may be temporarily excommunicated from that communication, but I'm making sense in the spirit. But the very next verse now says that he that speaks in unknown tongue edifies himself. Are you in verse 3? So he says, understand him. But he that prophesies speaks unto men what? Edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. So he's comparing speaking in tongues and prophesying together. What is he trying to bring about? He's still explaining verse 1. What's verse 1? Why do I say that you should rather desire to prophesy? Why should you focus on prophesying? He begins to explain. If I'm speaking in tongues only, I'm speaking primarily to God as my primary audience. Okay? And I'm meant to follow after love, isn't it? To follow after love means that you seek out to bless men. So, but if I'm prophesying, I'm speaking to men. Edification, position, and comfort. If I'm speaking in tongues, I'm speaking to God. So look at the next verb. That says, he that speaks in unknown tongue edified himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. So let's put it together. If I'm speaking in tongues alone, I have two audiences. Permit me to use English. God and me. I edify myself alone. If I leave it to myself alone, if I am in the church, I'm being selfish. If I speak in tongues alone when I'm at home, I am doing a good, great work. Because I am at home and there's nobody around. So I don't need to switch over. So tongues alone at home is good. But tongues alone in a local assembly is not as good as the one who is prophesying. So notice, you will almost think the one who is speaking in tongues in verse 4, Pastor. So it says, he that speaks in a tongue edifies himself, he that prophesies edifies the church. Do you know you will think they are two separate people? They are not. Read it again. So tongues alone at home. Before you come on, 28. Read 1 Corinthians 14 like 10 times. Lie down there. Just lie down. Sleep, wake up, lie down there again. Go treat again. I'm telling you how to get the truth there. Verse 4 is not to separate people. He that speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. He's the one that's impossible. He's just telling you the function. Why do I say you should rather desire to prophesy? He's explaining to you. See, because if all I'm doing is tongues, I'm only blessing myself. But if I switch over to prophecy, in the same way I spoke in tongues, which takes the same energy I use speaking tongues, I am actually blessing the church or edifying the church. So, he now says in verse 5, I would that you all speak with tongues in order that you may prophesy. What is working in love? That I prioritize prophesying, which is my way of ministering to men, above just speaking in tongues alone. So he's actually saying, I can speak in tongues. We all can, which is good. Don't go and sit down or stop at tongues. Understand tongues is the door to other things, or is hiding something. Now, stop hiding that thing. Unhide it by prophesying. He says the person who gives the utterance in tongues can actually change over to prophecy at will. Say at will. At will. You must get rid of this clause in your mind. That it is easier to speak in tongues than to prophesy. It's not. It's the same. And maybe tonight we'll go one step. There's a step we have not been going. I've not been allowing people to go to. We'll go one step. That step is that you can sing out songs. You can sing out songs. You know the songs I've sung in church? They all came by the same means. You came by the same means. What's the difference? It's just all of us can do it, but some can do it better than others because there's some that are given to singing. When you, some of us are singing, our hear me pain or so, let's leave it to those who are giving to singing because they are likely to express it better that way. That's what it means. That's what does this mean to sing in tongues? It's the same to sing in tongues, to speak in tongues. You just add melody to it. And some people are just more grace along that area. If you all you are doing is gifted to speaking, you stay with speaking. If some people are gifted to singing, they stay with singing. And they will still bring forth edification, exhortation, and comfort. Why? They are prophesying in a song. Will it bless us? Yes, it will. Why? The same person can sing the same song to himself only in tongues. Then when he comes to us, he sings interpretation because that's the one that would bless us. Say amen. Oh, bless us. You can. It doesn't take it doesn't take more Holy Ghost to interpret. It's the same Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You can eat your rice white or fried or jolloft or concussioned. It's the rice. What the Spirit gives you is utterance. You can dice it into songs, dice it into psalms, dice into prophecy, dice into visions. It's still utterance. Hallelujah. So the one who determines how it comes out is not the Holy Ghost, it is you. Or I won't use the word rather. Rather is language of permission, means it's in your hands. How can I tell you desire something you have no control over? I can't desire your wife. I don't have control over her. She's already married. By what wife? She belongs to somebody else. Desire means that it's within your purpose, within what is available to you and to her. It now says the reason why you have not been experiencing much manifestation, you don't know the rules that guide the manifestation. You have been enriched. What enriches? What inheritance? Enriched by me, all utterance and all knowledge. So why am I not seeing all utterance, all knowledge? It says you don't know the rules that guide it. What are the rules? Follow after love. So there's an activity of love often within you that you have not been following, or you've not been paying attention to. Why do I always feel when we gather together that like I should just sing, or I should just go to somebody and talk about? It's an activity that is really peculiar to you a lot. It now says that, but what is available to all of us, the activity of love on your inside may not be the same on my own inside. May be different. So some seemingly have words of knowledge when it comes to health or issues. That's how the activity of love on your inside plays out. That may be specific to some people. Okay, but desiring things of the Spirit is available to all. Then now says, rather you may prophesy, seemingly means you, so to speak, bring it from the hidden form to the reveal form so that everyone can what? Benefit. That's what it means. And it says it's something you can choose to do or not to do. So it says, as long as you live it with tongues, you are speaking to yourself and to God. When you change it to prophecy, you are bringing it to the realm to which it can now bless others. And you are doing it deliberately. Waiting upon the Lord for sudden instructions or revelation when you are in dire need of direction will not often work because you are waiting for something to come upon you suddenly when He has given you something to abide in you permanently, even in spirit, which is an utterance, a word, an instruction away. So if you give yourself, therefore, to speaking out in your private life in this blessed language that is native to the recreated spirit, you will find that rising up in your mind, in your thought, in your consciousness, will be exactly what you do, will be images and visions of places you ought to go and places where you ought to apply yourself to and things you need to do, and you will find that never at any point in time will you be at a loss for wisdom, and what to do will mark every single step that you take. Hallelujah. Now, why did I hesitate when I give that message in tongues? Because the same way I give it in tongues is the same way interpretation follows. They are joined together except I separate them. I didn't need to think about it. I didn't need to shake my body a little bit. I need to change my voice. You know, you know that the spirit is really strong. No. It's the same vein. The same spirit. One utterance manifested in different ways. I would, verse 5, that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret. That word except is also language of permission. It means somebody comes to you and speaks in tongues and stops as tongues and goes away. And so he has not been of much benefit because he stopped. He's the one that stopped. He's not the Holy Ghost that stopped. He stopped at tongues. He is meant to go on and what? Interpret. If he interprets, what has he done? He has prophesied. Let me quote that scripture again. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 5. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you what? Prophesied. So when I speak in tongues, I should have prophecy in mind. What is prophecy? That I interpret the tongues that I just spoke as prophecy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues. He is not talking about two different people. He is talking about the ministry that each of them offered. One came, or the first person, the same person, when he came, if he stops at tongues, he has, so to speak, limited how much of a blessing it can be to us. But if he continues and begins to, so to speak, open up what he said in tongues by prophesying or by interpreting, he is now being of great benefit to us. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. And he says we can all do it. If the barrier in your consciousness along this line can be removed, you will have more experiences with the things of the Spirit. Because I've noticed that the reason why we don't go for that, because most of that light and revelation that comes as you learn to speak. That which your spirit wants to bring your mind into and turn your life around based on facts that the spirit of truth wants to communicate via the utterances that flow from your lips. It will compress time, and time will redeem on your behalf, so that when you say, where you used to say before, I have lost so much time, you will gain so much ground. You will cover ground that seems to be lost, even time that you can't have count for. Even when it comes to chronological years, you will be able to redeem by the revelation of the truth that the Spirit of God, via your spirit, will cause to flow forth from your lips, and you'll find yourself, your life will be in experiences that can hardly be brought forth by simply praying. For that which your spirit, by your will, is allowed to speak forth will accelerate your experiences, and you will find yourself in a different dimension of the Father's plans and purposes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I can teach what I just said. And here's what the Spirit of God is trying to say. You see, many ano safrati ligiano shafresi eleko brasia talakatia. And ekomun rinste la frita le kich de kelisto chuprokuta. And ekrasto shivrastikali hadagatia. For many a time we'll pray about certain situations and challenges. And many times when we don't see change, it's not because prayers are not being answered. It's because instructions have been ignored. For there are instructions that the Spirit of God has given to your spirit, which your spirit is endeavoring that you should speak out. For in your speaking out those things, there is a command and a release of power sufficient to turn things around in your favor. And so stay with speaking, for speaking is a secret that belongs to every new creation. For in speaking, you give expression to the ability of the one who is seated. For where he is sitting, victory is being administrated through the same language that he has given to you, that he has given to me. And as you speak more and more, you release more and more victory, and things swing around more and more in your favor, even in the now. Glory to God. Glory to God. The first prophecy spoke about redeeming the time, which means covering lost ground and having more or getting more out of your days, which means that 5 years can be used to restore 25 years experience in your life. If you will learn to speak out the most holy things that God hands over to your spirit. You know, in 1 Corinthians 2 in verse 13, the Bible says in verse 12, it says that now we have received not the spirit which is of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things which are freely given to us of God. Verse 13 now says, which things also we speak. Which things also we speak. Which things also we speak. Not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. These are the words that the Holy Ghost teaches. Tongues, utterance, which can be translated over into prophecy, which will bring the mind into a place of fruitfulness, clear direction as to what to do. But beyond the direction, there is a holy boldness, a supernatural strengthening for the mind. For where you were once weak and you could not take the decision to head in that direction, as you yield your tongue and you give it to that utterance and you speak it forth, power backs up the utterance and your will becomes strong and you overcome the flesh and you are able to prevail over what once held you back. You notice that you are at liberty and you're free, and there is a divine zeal backing you up that as you move, there's a supernatural energizing by the Spirit of God, for you are in the Father's will, and because you are in His will, all things begin to work together. The lines are falling in pleasant places. Thoughts upon thoughts of a heavenly nature begin to line up, and it's as though every step you take, you cover more ground and more ground and more ground, and you're able to accomplish with ease what you once thought was difficult. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, you are able to do with ease what you once thought was difficult. Glory to God. And as such, many a time that confusion tries to surround your consciousness, realize you are of the new creature. You are of the new nature. You are one with the seated one. If it cannot be confused, then you cannot be confused. For His wisdom, therefore, is your wisdom. That wisdom, therefore, will give unto you natural answers and solutions that will apply even at your place of work. And so many times, learn to turn your back on what the world calls confusion and say to yourself, in me is the wisdom of the ages. In me is the wisdom of Christ. I will crack this thing. I will solve this issue. I will offer a solution. I will bring about the best results. I will not be confused, for I have divine help and assistance, and I'm supernaturally assisted by God. Therefore, I produce results above board, for He has placed you in a place where nothing on the earth that's of this earthly sphere of wisdom can assail the wisdom of Christ that dwells in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now remember, prophecy is speaking unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what prophecy is. It's speaking unto men edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. So it will contain those three elements more often than not. Why? God is consistently pointing you to what He has done in Christ. God is not saying he will do something new. God is saying what he has done in Christ is sufficient. But your mind will often tell you when it's challenged that what has been done in Christ, God still needs to do more because of the way the challenges will appear. But prophecy, which is speaking unto men, edification, exhortation, and comfort, is God calling your attention to the fact that your new creation means much more than you think. It means that all that will need to be done has been done. It has been accomplished. You are God's done deal now. You are a settlement upon the earth. And so, on the inside of you, as you yield to the Spirit within, and you give forth in utterances, do not despise tongues, for it is a doorway. Do not despise the streaming, the trickles as they begin to come forth. Remember, great things start in a small way. Great things start in a small way. So it is like God to hide in something that the world calls foolish, all of his glory, all of his power, all of his majesty, even in tongues. The world may say, thou speakest foolishly, but God is saying, son, thou speakest wisely. For as you begin to give expression to tongues, then other things that are hidden within that will confound all the activities of the enemy, those things will begin to manifest. Remember, it is written in the scriptures, are the prince of this world known, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. So there's a wisdom beyond the realm of the prince of this world. There's a wisdom that the enemy knows nothing about. There's a wisdom only the new creation can dig up and can bring up. There's a wisdom that will, so to speak, prostrate and allay every fear. There's a wisdom that will overcome every challenge. There's a wisdom that will bring about supernatural provisions upon the sin. Yeah, there's a wisdom. The provisions will come. Change not your plans. Don't let go of your confidence. Don't say my submissions were like this and the time that we have is short. I cannot meet up, but he can meet up. He can meet up, and then he will bear you up. And so when you say I can no longer run, he will run in you. He will enable you. He will strengthen you, and it will cause there to be a supernatural turnaround. Financially, or turn around, and things will happen swiftly and quickly. 3 months, too much. 3 months, too much. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. I will that you all speak with tongues, but rather, Elenokusta Frastile Dish, the Casto Diacada, and a grand supra katia, Anekele, Lobriestikele Anakiki Gishi Bristikisele Brukuta Gatasia, Siso Brusto Kile Nianda, Akuku Brieta Gletigedi, Yiku Brusta Frananka Latike Ninkedi, Senienda Sadu Brunuko, fall not for this wisdom of the enemy, saying, it is a situation in nation. Oh, it's a difficulty of the present time. That is why the work of my hands are not being noticed. But it's a lie. It's a lie. Even when it seems as though, oh, even the signboard, no one knows of it, but he knows of it. And because he has compassed with favor and about, that favor, as you speak, will rise up. That favor will bring a remembrance of you before men. That favor will cause jobs to come. That favor will cause things to come around. That favor will cause you to enter into a new season where you have much more that you can handle. Yay, jobs will keep coming one after the other in quick succession. There will be no dry season, there will be no lack, for there is no lack in him, for there is no limitation to the wisdom and to the favor that he has given that will bring about a change in experience. And so the change comes, the change is here. Embrace it and say to yourself, the change is here, the change is here. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Rather, it's a choice that we make. It's a decision that's based on, so to speak, choosing to edify the church. Greater is he that prophesies than he that simply or strictly just speaks in tongues. So I need to go on to greater things. I need to do the church a better service. I need to focus on edifying the body. As I focus on edifying the body, I unlock the door of utterance. I'm able to minister far beyond my mental capacity. For that which we indulge and give ourselves to is beyond the mental capacity of men. For you see, the mind of man will stay say, I will continually be a student of the new creation, of the spirit of man. And as the new creation begins to teach and educate the mind begins to follow after facts, specific statements that will bring about a transformation and a renewal that will lead the life of individuals into new heights in the things of God. Hallelujah. But where do we start from? I would that you speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, but rather that you prophesy. So tongues is a doorway. But we don't stand by the doorway. We enter into the room. That room is full of great things. That room is full of rich things. That room is full of all that God has accomplished in the seated, in the Holy One. And because he is seated, is a final seal to the fact that you can never lack any good thing. His sitting means that everything that he has is yours also. Deliverance is yours. Protection is yours. Long life is yours. Sound health is yours. Abundance is yours. Because he is seated. He is seated as an administrator of good things. Not good things that are coming, but good things that have now come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's give him praise tonight and thank him. The work of my hands prosper. I experience increase in all areas. I refuse to be down. I refuse to tolerate lack in any form. Thank you, Father, for all comfort and all abundance flows freely, effortlessly in and through me. I am a channel for the supplies of God. Provisions ceaselessly flow through me. I thank you, Father. I have no lack in any area. My inheritance speaks of abundance and abundance and abundance and even much more abundance. I feast on Jehovah's table. I spend from Jehovah's pocket. I have abundance in all areas of life. I experience a flow of divine provision. I enjoy the Father's largesse in every area of life. Thank you, Father. Thank you. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not want for any good thing, but I have an abundance of all things. Blessed be his name. I have an abundance of all things. Blessed be his name. I have an abundance of all things. Blessed be his name. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, what have we learned today as instruction? Because he is seated, utterance is continuous. Because he is seated, his seated position also gives us an insight into what utterances will contain. For because he had to sit before the Holy Ghost came, and the Holy Ghost coming is what opened up supernatural utterances, then the utterances will be containers for what his sitting represents. Hallelujah. That's why that which we speak will minister unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. Why? He is seated. Oh, he is seated. Hallelujah. He is seated. Everything we say from his seated position. Everything we say is because he succeeded in sitting. He has been exalted. Hallelujah. His sitting means your sins are forever forgiven. Hallelujah. It means health is yours even now. Abundance is yours even now. So prophecy will never communicate anything that's contrary to what he accomplished when he's heard. Glory to God. So his sitting dictates what prophecy will contain and convey. But where does it start from? A word that you all speak with tongues. But rather, hallelujah. But rather that you prophesy. Amen. So we're going to do what we did last week. How are we going to do that? You know, last week deliberately I changed tax. I didn't force anybody. Okay, the previous weeks I'll tell you, you go here. But today I won't do that. So last week again we changed tax. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to build boldness and confidence in you. So how did we minister last week? I said, pray in tongues a little bit. And then just go towards people that you feel drawn to. Just go towards people that you feel drawn to. Just walk towards somebody you just feel drawn to. Just go ahead and do that. If you stay in the flesh, you won't feel drawn to anything. Amen. But you know, it's very interesting. I receive leading and direction from the things I say out by the Spirit. That's how my life has been. So if I want to know what to do, what do? I start speaking. I will harvest what to do from what I speak. And I think we'll talk about that. You can harvest plenty from your tongues. Okay? The harvest of mystery is revelation. So he that speaks in our own tongue speaks not to men but unto God. For normal understanding, how be it in spirit, speaketh what? Mystery. So don't leave it as mystery. Harvest it. What we harvest from mystery? Revelation. 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 So if you want to know what you're going to say to you, the person sitting beside you or the person sitting behind you, you are going to, where do you start from? Tongues. What will happen after it's spoken in tongues? You will harvest what is hidden inside it. But there's something hidden inside it. There's always something hidden inside it. Harvest it. Don't just sow and let it go. Okay? Deliberately harvest it. That's why Paul says that, but rather that you may prophesy. Paul is so confident that when a believer is speaking in tongues, he's making serious sense. That he says, choose rather to let us know what it is that you are saying now. If you are doing it in your own house, you don't need to let us know. It's between you and God. But if you're in local assembly, how can you alone be engaging this kind of thing? That's what he was supposed to say. Don't you know that you can use it to? That's what Paul was saying. If it's a communal farm, you know what it means? Have you ever seen a communal farm before? A communal farm. We all sow together. We all harvest together. Guess what? We all eat together. If I likely, the corn you are going to be eating is not going to come from your own farm portion. It's going to come from somebody else's portion because they will mix everything together and then begin to distribute. That's what communal farming means. So the same thing also, when we come together, Paul is telling us that every believer, once they start speaking in tongues, they are making serious sense. And since the supernatural language that has to do with Jesus' sitting, they are going to bring out things that has to do with the victory of that sitting that's going to bless many people. Strengthen, comfort, edify, build up, establish. It's just going to start coming. Hallelujah. We can now choose to interpret it. We don't have to leave it the way it is. It is that simple. As simple. We can sing tonight if we want to. If it takes you 1 hour, I'll wait. Will it take you 1 hour? No. Why does something take 1 hour? Because you think it will take 1 hour. Well, it really doesn't take 1 hour. It doesn't. Bring your speakers on, doesn't take, you know, more psyching. When you come down, we're still waiting for you. No, it doesn't take all that. The more you do that, the more your mind is estranged from realities. You just flow naturally. It's that simple. We're born this way. What would you call it? We were born into these things. We're just learning about what we're born into. Rather. So let's do rather tonight. Amen. That's the advice. Tonight we just want to do rather. We want to do rather. So go ahead and speak in tongues. It's a subrakatala. We're just going to minister to one another a few minutes before we go home. So the earlier you get in the flow, the faster we'll go home. In the moon, great ticker, said the good gratas satire. Ah, said the braco, Neliana shite, in a genomunda, eletanka, says so so the bloody elster. As I love rejoicing. Before and after the fact. A rehearsal that is more than one. One with the fact, one with the event. For the rejoicing is as real as the event. It's as real as the manifestation. We rejoice because we have what the word says we have. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Payments are paid. Outstanding payments are paid. This is how we secure it. This is how we secure it. Outstanding payments are paid. It is so. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's give him praise. Right. Oh, blessed be his name. Blessed be his name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We are grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the things that have been spoken. Thank you for the revelation of the truth of your word. Thank you for the comfort, the strengthening, the edification that has come forth. Thank you for the establishment. Thank you for fear is gone. Doubt and unbelief are no more. Thank you for boldness arises in new confidence. Ha 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 ha. And the word of God, we are who you say we are, your workmanship. Thank you for our very source. It's not a lie, it's of the truth. And the reality is what we are and who we are. And it gives light to everything that is of darkness. Thank you. We are that light that shines so bright and darkness can't comprehend us. Thank you for a marvelous season, a stupendous season of blessing and the miraculous. Thank you, like never before. Monia no sia taka, maletia kustan celebrash teke, subrukuteli na kanesia, eladujo padieshtenka, monino, monino, palagrietis, palagrietis, elestugrash tekelia na situkuria. Monino, monino, malena kansto, ulefratia, shekeluburi, e kanka katasia la gatia. For there be angels, monino, buri, there be angels, assigned to walk, assigned to bring about the will and the purpose of God in this local assembly. For you see our utterance and our rejoicing, all is the mechanism of their operation. And so as we up our game in utterance, and as we increase our rejoicing, alobariati kedishte, monino and buri will go forth, and they will execute flawless manifestations of supernatural provision. Yea, monino and buri will see to it that divine protection is afforded according to that which was spoken concerning every single member. And that too, priyata leka tishte, for they receive instruction. They learn what to do as the saints of God speak, and as the saints rejoice, they are greatly empowered. And this go forth to see to it that in line with the assignment and with the commission of this local assembly, they bring every saint into the experience of that which God has planned and prepared. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.